South Sudan is the world's newest country. The Central African nation gained independence in 2011, but in December 2013, internal conflicts erupted into civil war. Journalist Justin Lynch, a 25-year-old native of Saratoga Springs, was recently deported from South Sudan after publishing print articles and video on the war. Lynch talks about the article he believes prompted authorities to remove him from the country.
Well, South Sudan has been in a civil war since 2013, and so what we've seen in the past year or so is a whole slew of human rights violations and war crimes and things that are just, you know, hard to kind of explain to folks who don't know about the country. And so the article that I wrote was from a place called Yei. It's in the south of the country, and about a year ago, even 6 months ago, it was a place that was the last place that you'd expect ethnic cleansing to happen. And for folks who aren't that familiar, ethnic cleansing means the forceful transfer of a population. So, they're being moved from a location because of their identity. And genocide means that group is being eliminated. And so I traveled to this town, and what I saw there was, in my mind, ethnic cleansing. And I think the UN has also said that it's also ethnic cleansing. Folks there were talking about government soldiers from the tribe of the president. It's President Salva Kiir, and he's from the Dinka tribe. And what these soldiers were doing were targeting civilians. Men talked about being arrested and even being beaten and being executed based on their identity. Women talked about being raped and gang raped, and that they had friends being gang raped. I didn't speak with any victims of rape there, but I spoke with folks who had friends who had been raped. And, you know, one of the most shocking things to me was that this is a town that is one of the most fertile in the world. George Clooney had a coffee factory there. And so, you know, there was a bunch of crops, coffee, you know, bread nearby. And the town is currently facing a hunger crisis because folks can't leave the town. Because when they leave, they face government checkpoints where the soldiers will often steal their food, and they will arrest or, you know, do these crimes to people because they are identified with being rebels. And, you know, folks can't come into the town because the rebels have the same setup, and they're accused of being supporters of the government. And so one of the sites that I visited was a hut that had been burned down, and there were seven charred bodies inside, and they were still tied up. And so what folks there said was that they had been traveling to the town to get food from the World Food Program, and they were leaving. They encountered one of these checkpoints, and they had been arrested, and, you know, they were burned alive. So,
and you saw the bodies in the hut?
I did, yeah. I think that, yeah, it was a tough scene to see, but I think it's a funny thing when you're a journalist, because my first reaction was, this is unbelievable. And then you've got to put the lens on of being a journalist. And so you have to think about, okay, what is the right shot to get here? You know, through your camera, you know, doing video and doing photos. And so that, I think, is almost kind of a way to shield yourself from it, right? Because you're not looking at exactly what you're seeing. You're thinking, okay, how can I get the best shot of this? So folks can really kind of capture the whole image back home. So in some ways, it was a blessing being a journalist there. So,
how long were you in South Sudan for?
About a year. Yeah.
And that is until you got kicked out.
Yeah, so I was kicked out it was mid-December, and so I just come back from a vacation, because you've got to take a lot of breaks there because you can go pretty insane. And I was meeting with an official from the country's intelligence service, basically, because I was trying to squeeze some information from him. And that's what you do as a journalist, you know, you're trying to build more contacts and you're trying to, talk to everyone, right? Because you want everyone's opinion. And so I was trying to meet with him, and I was meeting with him at their headquarters. And so as I was in the waiting room, a guy walked up to me and said, you know, are you Justin Lynch? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, come with me. And we walked out, and he said, you're under arrest by the country's National Security Service. And I said, okay. And it was pretty straightforward what was happening. And thankfully, you know, as an international journalist there, I have some level of protection, but my local colleagues don't. And they are, you know, intimidated all the time by the NSS, and they are frequently, or I should say that they are killed more often than they should. I think South Sudan is one of the worst countries in the world when it comes to freedom of the press. There were, I think, 7 or 8 journalists who were killed in 2015, and they're all locals. And so, you know, as a Westerner, the unfortunate reality is that, you know, when I do something bad, I get kicked out. But when, you know, my friends do it, you know, they get killed or they get intimidated.
What was going through your mind when that happened, when someone walked up to you and said, come with me?
Well, the first thing that you're concerned about is, you know, is this going to be a long-term detention or is this going to be short? You know, am I going to be stuck here for a long time, you know, for a couple days? And you're concerned about your sources too, right? Because you have stuff on your phone, you have stuff, you know, you talk to a bunch of people, and so you want to protect your sources. And so I think I was focusing on staying calm as much as I could, because I had been in a couple situations that were similar. And, you know, what you have to do is be the calmest guy in the room, because everyone else is, you know, really nervous. They're running around, their mind is racing. And so if you can calm, you know, this person down, then you've got a better chance of, you know, being safe. And also, you know, it's also, you've got to have some fun. So I think you've got to stay relaxed and hope that you get the best out of it that you can.
How can you have fun at a situation like that? What do you mean by having fun?
Well, I think that, look, I mean, I wasn't there for my health, right? I was reporting on ethnic cleansing and I was reporting on war crimes. And so I think that it was when I went back to Uganda after I was deported, a couple days later, I went up to the border of Uganda, South Sudan, and DRC, and I was talking with a bunch of refugees there, you know, and people who had literally just crossed the border. I mean, I was at the border, and I'd crossed over into South Sudan also, just despite the government. You know, when you talk with those folks, you realize that for as many troubles as you have here, you know, for however stressed out you are, and, you know, if you feel sorry for yourself, you talk with folks who had just come from, you know, 3 days walking, you know, through government forces, rebel forces who often attack them, and you realize that your life is pretty good. So I think that it was kind of a reminder that you've got to have as much fun and you've got to just enjoy whatever's going on. And if you can make a funny moment out of being arrested and deported and have some fun with the NSS guy who was arresting me, then I think you've got to do it, because, you know, what else are we here for?
So you can't go back to South Sudan. Mm-hmm. What's next for you then?
Well, I'm thinking about what's next now, and on one hand, I think that there aren't enough folks talking about South Sudan, and I think, you know, South Sudan is actually important to the U.S. Government, because South Sudan is the newest country in the world, and it was created with the heavy hand of the U.S. government. If it wasn't for the U.S., then South Sudan, I don't know if it would actually be a country, and so the reason why it's important is because it's a lesson in our diplomacy, right? We often talk about the misadventures in Iraq and to a lesser extent in Afghanistan. But look, South Sudan was a place that we, you know, pretty much, I mean, like I said, if it wasn't for us, it wouldn't be, it wouldn't exist probably. So we've seen from its slide into the civil war and to this chaos how, you know, some of the things that we advocate, you know, don't really end up very well. And so I think that we need to have this reminder that, you know, folks look to the U.S. in the world, and there's no doubt that we are the most influential country in the world still, but we've got to get these policies right. And this is a reminder that, you know, what we do in Syria, what we do in South Sudan, you know, what we do in places like Ukraine and Burma, you know, folks look to, and we've got to get it right, because if we don't, then nobody else is. So that's kind of, on one hand, is, you know, trying to stay involved in South Sudan and, you know, do some policy work. And the other is that I'm thinking about, you know, where else in the world needs coverage, even if that's here in the U.S., because I think that what we see is a big gap between, you know, these policies, folk and, you know, folks who are partisan and, you know, they kind of stick to their talking points, you know, and we see this in this recent election, and folks who are on the ground, journalists who are on the ground talking about what's going on. And I think that there's been a big gap in our industry with, you know, people who are really talking with, you know, farmers in upstate New York, factory workers in Ohio, and, you know, these policy guys in D.C. who are going to good restaurants and eating good food. And so, you know, I think I'm interested in kind of making sure that we hold ourselves accountable to the facts and the folks on the ground. So.